It is now 1:15 on Wednesday afternoon, so you already know what time that means. It is time for the Corner Flag with your host, Christian Hernandez, right here now on WBDG. So let's get this kicked off.
Hello, and welcome to today's edition of the Corner Flag. It is your host, Christian Hernandez, and welcome to this week's edition, May 11th, 2022, of the Corner Flag. Now, over the last few days of soccer, in the world of soccer, there hasn't been anything about European competition, as the Champions League final has been already set, as I discussed last week, which will be held in Paris between Real Madrid and Liverpool. But we already talked about that last week, so let's get straight into this week's stuff. So before I talk about anything like an incredible transfer from Manchester City and more updates of the Europe's top five leagues, I want to touch on the new Champions League format that has been proposed by UEFA. Now, it has been announced over the last couple days that UEFA has planned to change how the Champions League runs starting in the season of 2024 and onwards. And the proposal of all the new changes and stuff is pretty controversial, to say the least, in the soccer world. And a lot of people are drawing comparisons to this new format to the European Super League, which, if you remember, about a year back, that was proposed as well by some of Europe's biggest teams, and it just did not land well with the community of soccer, and we all spoke out about it, and they decided not to let it be a thing, which was very good at the time. But I think FIFA and UEFA took this, seeing the support that they got in that moment of them talking against this this European Super League, as a way to see that they have the people's support, and I think they're starting to do some more crazy stuff themselves, thinking that they could do whatever they want since they think they got the support from the fans. When in reality, what they're doing is just as bad, if not as worse, as the European Super League. With this new format, they propose that they raise the teams in the group stage from 32 to 36. And on top of that, they plan on making it more of a league format and completely getting rid of the group stage format, which, if you don't know, is there's four teams in one group, and they all play six matches against each other twice in a row. But, with that, they want to get rid of that and make a league format where each team has eight matches to play. Along with their domestic leagues, they have to play in the Champions League as a league system, which is, to say the least, would be something that would fatigue the players very easily. And I don't think it's a good idea. It's horrible on the safety of the players. And on top of that, it gives more issues to teams that might have to struggle with injuries, might cause more injury crises to occur during the season. And I mean, I just don't think this is a good idea whatsoever. And on top of that, they also want to have all this other more controversial stuff, like including two spots. With these two spots, out of the 36, they want two spots that are given to the league who have the most performing in like views and stuff like that. So like, let's say the Premier League and La Liga are the top two most viewed leagues in the world. And teams that usually would not get top four in Champions League spot, let's say Sevilla finishes fifth in La Liga, and Newcastle finished fifth in the Premier League, respectively. Instead of qualifying for the Europa League, which they were usually doing in our usual system, they'll go straight to the Champions League just because they play in one of the biggest leagues in the planet, which is, to me, unfair to all the other teams throughout Europe. I get that Europe's top five do have the teams that typically qualify for the Champions League, but you can't just rule out all the other smaller leagues, such as, you know, the ones in Belgium or the ones in Austria. They're pretty respectable leagues, and they do have great soccer that goes on over there. Now, another thing I would also like to touch on is just how much UEFA has done so much stuff just to try to make money. They call it expanding their brand. They want to make more money. I mean, that's understandable. You're a brand, but like the stuff they're doing, they don't look at what players and fans think at all. If you're gonna add all these competitions and do all this stuff, it's ridiculous. They do the most little things, like as of recently, they did cancel their contract with EA with the FIFA franchise, which is a game. But like, they've done big things where they're proposing to cut the World Cup to happen every 2 years instead of every four. They have all these extra European competitions going on, an international break like the Nations League. They have the new Copa America finalist winners versus the Euros winners. I mean, like, this is ridiculous. I mean, I think they're just doing too much right now, and they're just trying to milk soccer as much as possible, and that's what it feels like they're doing right now. And on top of that, I mean, you can see that all these other teams are being very vocal about this change and how, like, it's unfair to the much smaller teams in the top five leagues on top of that. I mean, this just, it feels like they're going to let the bigger teams just get further away. Like, we won't see these beautiful, like, you know, unexpected underdog stories like we saw with Villarreal this year or Ajax a few years back. I mean, it's just horrible to me, and I don't like how where this is going. And I think a lot of people can agree with me there where this is just not going, this is not going the direction people want to see. It just feels like FIFA have just done stuff for money as of recently, and I think it's really gone downhill ever since Qatar World Cup has been, like, announced and how they allowed it, despite there being a whole scandal about it in Qatar and stuff, but they still allowed it to continue. And I don't know. FIFA just seems so greedy now, and... If I had the two options to look between the European Super League and this new UEFA Champions League format, I would much rather pick the Super League, unfortunately, because this is just a horrible format. I mean, it's ridiculous to me. Like, how are you going to make these players play for this many games? The format's just ridiculous, and I mean, it's unacceptable to me, but that's my opinion on it, and I really hope that us soccer fans decide to speak out about it and try to dissolve it as soon as possible before the start of the 2024 season. We still have one more season of regular Champions League football where we could speak out against it and try to make sure that it doesn't become a thing, but I don't know if we're going to be able to do it as these are the biggest powers of soccer, unfortunately. Now let's head over to England, where Manchester City, after being knocked out of the Champions League, have decided to say, you know what? We're going to do it. We're going to buy Erling Haaland. And that's exactly what they did. They activated this $51 million release clause. I mean, quite a bit of money. But, hey, he's cheaper than Harry Maguire, and he's better. So, you know, why not? But, yeah, Erling Haaland has officially signed with Manchester City. And, I mean, it's a really good move for Manchester City. Personally, I thought they've been needing a striker all this season. Personally, if I felt like they had, like, a striker like Erling Haaland in the Real Madrid legs, they would have won comfortably. Amount of chances that they were not allowed to have or that they missed would have been goals for Haaland in those situations, pretty much. But yeah, it's a great signing for City, and a lot of people are questioning how the Premier League will fare with Manchester City just stacking up on players at this point in the season. I think it's a lot of people are coming into the realization that City will probably win the league this season, as Liverpool did drop points during the weekend against Tottenham Hotspur, drawing 1-1, making them a full 3 points behind Manchester City in the pursuit of the title. So I think at this point, I feel as if City is pretty much the most comfortable team in the league and will probably win it. And the fact that they could just go out and, you know, just buy the best young striker in the world besides Kylian Mbappe, you know, why not? But yeah, I mean, City is just rich like that, I suppose. And taking a look at that, I mean, I can see where the other leagues are coming from with how they feel against this type of stuff that goes on. Like, I guess it does feel kind of unfair that the team that wins the league has the right to buy the best young player. I mean, that just, it doesn't sit right with most people. It doesn't sit right with me personally, but hey, I mean, what are we going to do about it? You can't really do too much about it. It's already confirmed Erling Haaland is officially a Manchester City player, which is pretty good for him, as Manchester City was one of the teams he supported while growing up. So I guess that's kind of nice for him to play at the youth club. And I believe his father also played at Manchester City at one point in his career, if I remember correctly. So, I mean, I guess blue runs through his blood, I guess. But really, all I could say is it's a good signing for Manchester City. And, I mean, if they weren't the favorites this season in the Champions League, next season they have to be the favorites for sure. I mean, this guy Erling Haaland, his stats are ridiculous for Borussia Dortmund, to say the least. I mean, he's quite the ridiculous player. Over in the Bundesliga, I believe he had 22 appearances, and he had 21 goals and around 11 assists, I believe. So I mean, yeah, the guy's quite a baller, to say the least. I mean, yeah, he had 21 goals and 7 assists in 23 matches. So this guy has had 28 goal involvements in 23 matches. That is an incredible stat. That's ridiculous, to say the least. So, I mean, Manchester City getting this guy on what essentially is a bargain. I mean, it's been no secret that Erling Haaland was going to leave Borussia Dortmund in the summer. But the question was he going to go the Real Madrid, City, or Barcelona, or Liverpool maybe. But it seems like he chose Manchester City, which I feel like was the team that was the favorite in the end of the day to land Erling Haaland. But, I mean, overall, I guess other teams are not looking forward to playing this monstrosity of a player in the start of the next season. But yeah, also with speaking of the Premier League, I do want to talk about the current title race and relegation battle, as that has been getting quite intense as time goes on when we are approaching the final match days of the season. Now, when you take a look at the standings, I mean, it's still pretty much the same from the top. Obviously, Liverpool and Man City are still chasing each other. On the weekend, like I said, Man City did drop two crucial points that might have had them take over Man City in the league, but unfortunately, they did tie that game. But they are currently on the same amount of points as City right now, as they did pick up a 2-1 win yesterday against Aston Villa as well. So they are on the same points as Manchester City, but Manchester City have a game at hand, and they are playing today also. They're playing Wolves, which is some difficult opposition. Wolves have had a pretty solid season. They're definitely up there for top three, if not one of the best defensive teams in the league. But is Man City we're talking about. These guys come up and just steamroll about everyone they play in the league this season, so can't really say much about that, can you? But, I mean, should be a good game. If there's some drama that occurs, like City lose the game, that would be some intense drama in the title race where City can leave, where Liverpool get the opportunity to leapfrog City and potentially steal this league title. That seems so simple for Man City halfway through the season. But yeah, the top four race is also pretty spicy right now, to say the least. Arsenal is currently 1 point behind Chelsea, who have been third most of the season, so that's kind of funny. Chelsea have really fallen off in form. That's my club, personally. So it kind of sucks to see them going through kind of an horrible patch of form as of recently, but I mean, you can't really say much about that, can you? It happens in soccer. Sometimes your team just goes for injury crisis. It's whatever. But yeah, Arsenal, they are looking a little bit comfortable in that top four spot against Tottenham Hotspur and Manchester United, sitting at 66 points, with Tottenham trailing with them with 62 points and Manchester United behind them with 58 points. So I mean, Arsenal are looking pretty solid, but one thing that is, this is probably going to be the most talked about game as we come towards the end of the season, which is playing tomorrow. This is going to be a very exciting game. It's the North London Derby between Arsenal and Tottenham Hotspur. And this is already such a big rivalry of a game, typically, whenever they're played. But what makes this even more dramatic is they're both fighting for this top four spot. And if Spurs win this, they get the momentum to leapfrog Tottenham Hotspur, potentially. They will be sitting at only 65 points, 1 point behind Arsenal 66. But you got to realize, if Arsenal are able to win this match, they secure top four right there. That's checkmate right there. It's over. Arsenal surely have top four in the bag in that moment right there. But if Spurs get it, you got to really think that Arsenal will have so much pressure on them that they'll drop off as a typically. I mean, they always Arsenal are always, like, choking. So same thing for Spurs. They're both just natural bottlers, I suppose. But, I mean, you can't really rule out both teams in this. They're both definitely going to be playing for that top four spot. So that should be a very eventful match. Has potential to be game of the season if they can perform up to the standards that we think they will tomorrow. Should be a phenomenal match, to say the least. But, yeah, top four race has been incredible. And, I mean, it's enjoyable, really, watching the Premier League this season. It's been one of the best seasons I've seen in a really long time, and it's kind of funny to talk about like that. But, yeah, I do want to talk about the relegation battle now. Let's head over to the bottom of the Premier League, where we have teams like Everton, Leeds, Watford, Norwich, and Burnley all fighting to stay up in the league. But Everton have done pretty well in the last two games. They somehow got 3 points over Chelsea. And they also did pick up 3 points as of recently. I can't remember which team. They picked up 3 points versus, was it United? No, it was Leicester City. That's who I was thinking about. Leicester City, who've had a horrible season for the team that they've had. I mean, for the team that Leicester have had, they're playing so horribly. I mean, Brendan Rodgers is doing a horror show of a job over there and over in Everton and Merseyside. But, Everton, they picked up 6 points in their last two games, which is the best you can do currently for a team that's fighting for relegation, fighting for every little point that they can get. They're playing anti-football, as many people would call it, anti-soccer, you know. Just play in the back, win at all costs type of stuff like Jose Mourinho and Diego Simeone typically do, but except it's Frank Lampard, and Frank Lampard is a very worst version of those two managers, to say the least. But I guess it's kind of working currently. They do find themselves in 16th position now, which is kind of impressive for them, as they were a week ago in the bottom, around 18th position in the Premier League. and it did seem not too good for them as these fixtures looked very difficult. But Everton have since proven that they are capable of picking up points in these dire games, and I think that little clutch gene of Everton that they're showing right now might just keep them alive in the Premier League this season. But yeah, as it stands right now, Leeds, Watford, and Norwich City will all be getting relegated if they stay in their positions until the last game of the season. Not too long now, 3 match days left. We'll see who really does stay in the Premier League and who will go down. But yeah, let's head over to La Liga. Now, La Liga, obviously, it's set and sealed. Real Madrid have won the title, no surprise. And, today, really the only thing to talk about in La Liga currently is the top four race. Now, the top four race between Atletico Madrid, Sevilla, and Real Betis is pretty heated as of recently. If you take a look at Atletico de Madrid, I mean, they did recently pick up 3 crucial points against Real Madrid, their bitter city rivals, which is kind of impressive for Atletico Madrid to do. Fun fact, this was the first time Atletico Madrid had been in Real Madrid in their home stadium, since they did just move into this home stadium about 3 seasons ago. So I thought that was kind of an interesting fact. But yeah, Atletico Madrid, they are looking currently as the favorites to seal that last top 4 spot. But Real Betis are hot behind them. Real Betis did pick up a loss during the weekend, unfortunately, against FC Barcelona, with Barcelona winning 2-1 thanks to a last-minute banger from Jordi Alba to keep his club alive and secure Champions League football for FC Barcelona, making the city of Catalonia and Barcelona very happy indeed. But now taking a look at Atletico Madrid, I mean, today they play Lecce. They got to really pick up those 3 points if they want to seal this Champions League spot. As I said, the season is coming to an end, so there is only about 2 more match days in La Liga. Now, as it stands, Atletico Madrid, as I said, they're playing Elche today, which might fare a difficult match for Atletico Madrid, as they have proven they always struggle against small teams in the league. And Elche is a team that really has provided issues for the big teams this season, beating the likes of Real Madrid in a cup, and then also giving them problems in the league, letting them barely win a match. I mean, Elche is a strong club, to say the least, as, I mean, they've kind of proven that this season, but yeah, I think Atletico Madrid, there's a much must-win match for them, or they will just hand over momentum to Real Betis to come in and steal the title. But yeah, that's all I want to talk about in La Liga. Let's head over to Serie A, as that's one of the last leagues I want to talk about today, as, I mean, those games, they've been insane. I mean, Serie A this year, it's definitely been one of the most, if not the most interesting league to watch this season. And I mean, you can't really go wrong with watching Serie A this season. I mean, if you take a look at it, AC Milan, Inter, and Napoli are 3 teams all fighting for this title, the Scudetto. But only one can win, obviously. And I mean, it's kind of looking like AC Milan might just do it. They might win their first Scudetto in a very long time. I mean, but it'd be very interesting, to say the least, to see that. I mean, AC Milan is just a team full of youthful players at this point. They have such young stars such as Coolio, Tonali, and Rafael Leao. I mean, these 3 players are really spearheaded this squad, and along with some very solid players. I mean, Theo Hernandez could be talked about as the best left back in the world potentially, and along with Mike Maignan, who's really proven himself as a great goalkeeper for AC Milan. Now, with Milan, I mean, they have not won in a very long time. They've definitely been a team more shrouded in darkness as of recent times, with a lot of issues going on within the club and their boardroom. But, I mean, this is a very great moment for them, and I definitely do think this is the start where they start to rise up as one of those big teams once again. And if they win this Serie A title, I just think soccer teams around the top 5 leagues and in the Champions League got to watch out for AC Milan. It wasn't too long ago, it was just 2 decades ago, when this was the best team in all of Europe, easily. They had the players like Paolo Maldini, Zambrotta. They had all these players. They had the best defense we've probably ever seen in the history of soccer. I mean, it's quite interesting. It was a spectacle to watch that AC Milan side that dominated from 1995 to 2008. I mean, they dominated up until then. It was just ridiculous watching that. But, yeah, with that, I do think I will be ending the show today, as that is all I really have to say about the leagues this season. And I think by the time we have our show next week, I should have more highlights, and hopefully we figure out who wins the Premier League, who wins the Serie A, and how is it, and whatever's going on in those leagues. This has been your host, Christian Hernandez, and thank you for listening.